From John 12, 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Thanks for that scripture reading. I remember when I was in, I guess it was middle school, we moved to a new town and a new house. And the new house had a game room. And I remember being like, what is a game room? You know, it's like an extra room that's, it's not a living room. And I just remember thinking like, we're rich. That's what this means. We've finally arrived when you have this extra kind of space like that. And it's funny, as I've kind of, you know, as I've grown up and the economy has changed, kind of what arriving has become different to me. Now I'm like, I have a friend who has a refrigerator in their garage. That's when you've arrived, you know, maybe one day, baby girl, we'll get there. But I remember your standards change. You know, it's all relative. You know, even having a garage, that's a house for your car. Most people in the world would consider that wildly rich. It's about perspective. But in the game room, we put up this poster, just in case you need an excuse to party. And I remember in the 90s, you would like see this poster around in different places. And it's kind of fun. It's got, for every day of the year, can't really zoom in there, but it's got a reason to celebrate. Every day. And it was always fun in the morning. You go and look and see, you know, what are we celebrating today? But it really was the excuses to party were really just excuses. They weren't really like these awesome reasons to party. You know, nobody's, you know, you're not going to get the whole family together to celebrate National Pickle Day. You know, you're not going to call your buddies and be like, come over, man. Today the Lazy Boy was invented. You know, it's like stretches. You know, it's silly things. But in our text this morning, something that we sometimes neglect is this is a party. And it's not an excuse. This is a celebration. It's a feast. They didn't need an excuse. This is one of the most awesome reasons to party in like all of history. I would say it's the second coolest reason to party ever. They're having this party to honor Jesus. And there's plenty of reasons to honor Jesus, but this is specific to one of his biggest miracles. We just read from John 12. What happens in John 11? In John 11, you see that the resurrection of Lazarus. They knew. It was at this point. They knew Jesus was powerful. But even this was shocking to some of them. He had the power to raise the dead. And so they're having this big party celebrating this guy, Jesus, who raised their brother from the dead. It's at Mary and Martha's house, who are the siblings of Lazarus. So they're having this big celebration. I'm sure people are going there to honor Jesus and be like, this is the man who raised him from the dead. And also to see Lazarus, to be like, whoa, what happened, Lazarus? What was it like? How are you feeling? This is a great reason to party. They are celebrating and honoring Jesus. And I say, yeah, I mean, a cool party. I mean, how awesome would it be to be a part of all this? But I say it's only the second, because the best reason to party, we've already done. The best reason to party is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus for all of us. That's number one. But this is a good second. This is a good reason to party, to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate that Lazarus is with us again. And so at this party, you see Martha, and I like Martha. She's serving in the kitchen. And that's like her thing. In Luke, you see her serving in the kitchen too. We know people like that, right? She probably likes to host, likes to cook, likes to serve, likes to bless people by feeding them. We have a lot of people like that in here. I don't think it's really listed as a total spiritual gift, but it still feels really close, right? A lot of people love hosting, love feeding people. That's kind of who Martha is. And we see her doing that in Luke. We see her doing that here. And it's at their house, and they're probably somewhat wealthy people, right? They have a house big enough to host this really big group. They probably have a game room. They're supplying all the food, and then we see they have this expensive perfume. So maybe not ultra rich, but we're definitely talking about the type of people who have a fridge in their garage. Okay, they are people of some kinds of means. But then Mary walks in, Lazarus' sister, holding a pint of this big, expensive perfume. And everybody's probably thinking, what's she going to do with that? Maybe thinking, well, it's a festive occasion, you know, maybe she'll, you know, dump a little bit out. But then she takes the whole thing, all of it, and just dumps it on Jesus' feet. And you could see, I can imagine people were like, no, stop. Don't do that. And so I really like, because it feels like waste. And here's a sentence I don't like saying. I kind of agree with Judas. It just seems like that money for that could have gone to something better. Honestly, even owning the perfume seems almost offensive to me. Who owns perfume that expensive? A year's wages, 300 denarii. How rich are you when you have perfume worth that? Who owns perfume like that today? NFL players and Beyonce. That's it. Like, right? Like, that is expensive stuff. Some people believe it could have been an heirloom that was passed down, which actually makes the act even more significant. This is part of their family. This is part of who they are. This is something that's been passed down. It makes it even more special of an act. But most likely, they say Judas, but we see similar events in the other Gospels, and it's really kind of everybody. It's kind of everybody who's thinking this. Maybe Judas had some selfish intent. Maybe they all did. You know, that's a lot of that could have gone to the poor, and a lot of it could have gone to nicer accommodations. You know, they're probably all thinking that. So I don't think it was just Judas with the selfish concerns. But it's just sweet. Jesus defends Mary. Lets him know what a beautiful thing he thinks it was. And he gives this nod to his impending death. Says, hey, this is for my burial. And I've gone back and forth on if she knew what he was going to do. If she knew, well, he's about to go die. Or if she just wanted to place this special honor for a friend that she really loved, who just saved her brother. But man, it just seems like the more I've kind of thought and prayed over this scripture, Mary just seems to get it in a way that the rest of the people don't. She seems to have a real grasp of who Jesus is. And she knows where every drop of honor is due. And so it's actually sad to think about how much she gets it and how much even sometimes I don't. Because if you ever see Jesus be blessed and honored, the response should never be, what a waste. If your response to seeing Jesus be blessed and honored and worshiped is, what a waste, then maybe you don't quite have a grasp of how big this person is. And so then Jesus says, so she does this nice thing, and he says it's nice, and then he adds, also, it's okay to not help poor people. Because we're always going to have poor people with us. They can't be helped. Right? That's how, have you ever heard this verse interpreted that way? That's not what he's saying. Some of us have heard the whole, the poor you will always have with you, but you won't always have me. Some of us just hear the first part and say, well, poor people are always going to be poor. You can't help them. Don't do that. That's not what he's saying. Hear the last part. What he's really saying is there is a sense of urgency and I am not going to be here long. He's predicting his death. He's getting them ready. Like you, something big is about to happen. And while I'm here, let's make it about this. He's also kind of saying, and on the other, he's not saying don't help poor people. He's saying there will always be people to help. You need to be able to do that. But I also think something we kind of miss is his view on money. Also, there's always going to be enough money to help them. The money will show. The money will be there. But that's not what this is about right now. It's kind of what he's getting at. You'll find the money. So I love that mentality. I'm not going to be here much longer is what Jesus is saying. So let's do this. Let's focus on this right now. Let's focus on the urgency of this situation. And so really Jesus is saying, I am going to accept this lavish blessing that she's given. She wanted to bless me in this way, and I will accept it. It's really insulting to not accept a gift or a blessing, right? Or to like take it in the wrong way. Like, what if he took it in the wrong way? Well, thanks for nothing, Mary. Do my feet stink that bad where you would do this? You know, you can take these things in the wrong way, but he didn't do that. He accepts it. Mary wanted to give this radical act of lavish blessing and worship. And he took it. And again, because she's really grasping who he is. And maybe, like I said, I even wonder if she actually put together what his mission is. Maybe she put it all together. Maybe she really knew what was about to happen. Maybe. But Mary gets it when these other guys don't. She's washing feet before Jesus commands anybody to. She's just a few steps ahead of everybody else. She seems to have a pretty good grasp on what is important and what is valuable. And as I was thinking about this and I was thinking about what waste it felt like to me, I just thought, like, what if Jesus had the reaction that maybe a Pharisee would have? What if Jesus had the reaction that maybe some of the disciples would have? What if Jesus had the reaction that, like, me on a bad day, that I would have had? What if as soon as the bottle was dumped on his feet, he just said, Mary, no, you fool. How could you do that? You could have sold this. And then I could have used it to buy a Bronco. The horse, not the car. You know how cool I would look riding into Jerusalem on a Bronco? And now, Mary, I have to ride on a donkey. Have you seen a grown man on a donkey? It's hard to look cool on a donkey. Can't do it. I would have had enough money left over for my Bronco that when I got to the temple, I could buy a bunch of cool stuff in there. Could have got some nice souvenirs. But now I'm so mad, I'm just going to turn over the tables. You know what? Party's over. Party's over. Everybody go home. Martha, make up some to-go boxes for these guys because we're not going to waste anything, Mary. Yep, that's everybody. Get up, Peter. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, yep, you too. Everybody get it, line up, get out. Even you, Thaddeus. Or is it Thaddeus? No one knows who you are anyway. Get out of here. I'll be in my room if you need anything. But at least my feet smell good, Mary. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine how Mary would have felt? Broken up and sad. Seeing someone throw a fit, reject your gift like that. Thinking about how on a bad day I might have reacted makes me think about how beautiful Jesus' response was to this. I'm so glad he didn't throw a fit. I'm so glad he accepted this lavish blessing. And it is kind, it is sweet, it is affirming. And it is really just receiving the loving act for what it was. It shows, one, what he really thinks about money. There's plenty of it. It's not a concern. It'll show up. You're always going to have enough. I trust God will provide. Not saying that's how I feel, but it's saying it's something to work towards. But it was a nice act. Jesus realized what is done. That's how she wants to bless me. I'm going to accept it. But if you think about it, he did deserve it. For all he is, all he's done, all he's going to do. Sure, it was an act of wild, lavish, radical love. And it doesn't make sense. But that's almost part of what makes it so special, right? And if you think about who he was, the appropriate response shouldn't have been, what a waste. It should have been, hey, was that quality enough for our God? I think even Mary knew. Mary probably wondered if it was good enough. That's probably why she's dumping it on his feet, not on his head. Because she knows who this is. She knows that the best of the best of the best is really not even worthy of the feet of our Savior. She got it. They shouldn't have been mad at her for waste. They should have been embarrassed that they didn't bring anything. She understands completely in this moment, I believe, who Jesus is, while the other guys haven't quite got it. That is how good Jesus is. That is what he is worth. And for us, a gift like that, like if somebody ever did that for us, we wouldn't deserve it, right? And it would be really hard to accept. But if you think about this lavish pouring of perfume as God's blessing, it's interesting. It's like God's grace and blessing on us is too much to accept, right? It's almost like, almost thinking of it as like God doing that for us by giving the Savior. God giving us this wild outpouring of devotion and love, and it's so hard for us to accept. We have a hard time accepting God's gift. We have a hard time accepting grace. This is what we've been talking about this a little bit on Wednesday night. We have a hard time accepting grace, and kind of like we talked about in communion. Sometimes we want to be self-made. We want to be our own individual people, and we actually want to point at other people and say, oh, I'm a little bit better than them. I'm a little more deserving of them. So it's hard for us to accept a good gift. It is hard for us to accept grace. And it's something that Jesus really can't model. Jesus couldn't model accepting grace because he was perfect. He was sinless. So he couldn't show us how to do that. But here he does show us how to receive a good gift. Here he does show us, he at least models, hey, sometimes it's okay to take on a wild blessing. And so I think that is important. Jesus was humble enough to accept a blessing. And while he didn't need grace, he was humble enough to accept good gifts. And so sometimes we need to be willing to do that. But to me, again, that's not the whole point of this text is this is who Jesus is. This is the worship and honor he deserves. And Mary got it. If you're here this morning and you're ready to repent, ready to accept God's saving grace, ready to say, I can't do it, but I will take this lavish, over-the-top gift of your mercy and love. If you're ready to accept that, if you're ready to give back to God, your best attempt at all of the worship and honor he's due. Or if you need any prayers of your congregation, your church family is here, and we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.